you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I say we are.
Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin. Alvin! Get ready. That was very good, Simon.
Naturally.
Very good, Theodore. Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it, Alvin. Alvin! Let's not overdo it.
What do you mean overdo it? We want to sing it again.
Oh, wait a minute, boys.
Yes, Daddy, why can't we sing it again?
Cut that out. Wait a minute. Theodore, just a minute. Simon, will you cut that out? Get on.
And Scott Spears back with you here. Boy, the Chipmunk song, that is a classic. 18 minutes past the hour here on this December 23rd, 2016. And we have a very, very, very special guest on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm always here.
The legend. All right. Yes, the legendary George Burns. George, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I would have called earlier, except I was setting my chipmunk traps.
George,
how is everything? In where are you in Ohio?
We're in Marion, Ohio, about 45
Marion,
minutes.
Ohio.
Yes.
I played the Palace there once.
Did you?
Absolutely beautiful, beautiful theater that you have there. Well, listen, I'm glad I was able to get through to you to wish all of your wonderful listeners and all of the people there in Marion and throughout Ohio a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a Happy Hanukkah and a Happy Kwanzaa and whatever else you celebrate.
George, when you look back at all the Christmases you had, do you have a favorite memory?
Well, I think it was the Christmas back in the late 30s, just before Gracie and I moved to Beverly Hills. We had our last Christmas with our friends in New York, and Jack was there with Mary and Al Jolson was there. We had a wonderful time at the old Biltmore Hotel. Do you know the Biltmore in New York?
Absolutely.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Well, you should go one of these days. They have a real good 7-layer chocolate cake, if you like that. I like chocolate cake. I don't eat very much of it anymore. I just have soup and cigars now. That's my diet. that's how I stay so slim and prim. But so tell me what's going on in Ohio.
Well, I tell you, it's just as beautiful as ever. Now, last year was kind of interesting. We had a 70-degree Christmas Eve. This year, we're not going to have that. Looks like about 38, 39, which is still a little warmer than normal, but a beautiful Christmas nonetheless.
Well, that's very nice. God's going to send me down to he's going to send me down to Florida to do a show in a couple of days. You know, Florida, where the average age is deceased.
I've heard that.
I did a show there about a year ago, and after the show, the manager came up to me, and he said, Mr. Burns, he said, they really loved you tonight. So by the time the show was over, there was hardly a dry seat in the audience. Well, It's a pleasure talking to you. I don't want to take up any time in your program, but I just want to say that it's a wonderful opportunity for me to say hello to all of my friends in Ohio, and I hope that one of these days we'll have a chance to play the Palace again.
I hope so. George, I just had one question before you started. Well, what's your favorite Christmas carol?
My favorite Christmas what?
Carol. Your favorite Christmas song.
I'm thinking. That's Jack's line. I think White Christmas is my favorite. And that's one of the things that I really missed when we moved to California in the late 30s was the snow and the Christmas spirit and Macy's in New York and all of the department stores getting bicked out. They do that in California, but they just don't do it the same. And you never have any snow there unless you go in the mountains. And that's what I miss the most.
Did you ever sing any Christmas songs in your shows?
Well, I never sang them solo. I sang them with some of my friends when Bing was around, came to the parties, came to our parties. It was never part of my repertoire, but we did sing some Christmas songs around Christmas time. With some of the entertainers that Carol Channing used to sing a few songs, and I'd sing along with her, and Anne Margaret did a lot of that. And Gracie loved singing. You know, Gracie was a really wonderful singer. She had a beautiful voice, and she started off as a singer and dancer, working for her father when she was just a little baby.
Absolutely.
And she's helped, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't for Gracie, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I couldn't afford a phone.
George, before you part with us, sing anything, but could you just give us a line from White Christmas?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. That's about it.
That works for me. The legendary George Burns here on Christmas, the day before Christmas Eve.
And pleasure speaking to you, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And we should mention, of course, George Burns passed away in 1996, I believe, George passed away. That was the very talented Peter Sulzer doing George Burns. And we do hope that he comes through Marion sometime again very soon. Now, we do have two Christmas trivia questions out there on the table. We got a call there during the break that somebody possibly was working on one of the answers. Here's the two questions again for two tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights, which are good through January the 1st. You can use them anytime next week. Now, the two trivia questions are, in the movie Scrooge, the 1989 feature Scrooged, Bill Murray was visited by his former boss to let him know that there would be three ghosts that were going to visit him. This ghost, kind of the Jacob Marley role, this ghost was a very famous television actor. What was his name? Back in 1989, when this movie was made, this actor was hugely popular on television. Who was it? And they show Scrooged all the time. 740-383-9944. The other trivia question is, in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what was the name of the Grinch's dog, and what was the name of the little girl who caught the Grinch stealing Christmas? She woke up in the middle of the night as the Grinch was sending up the tree and taking the food and taking the presents and taking the ornament. What was the name of that little girl? 740-383-9944. And it just occurred to me, we never got the answer from our trivia question from the other day, so I'm out there as well. So here we go with this one. The question was, Eartha Kitt, who was well known for singing the Christmas song Santa Baby, we just heard it there in the break, died on Christmas Day 2008. That was significant, of course, because she did the famous Christmas song Santa Baby. There was another actor who was synonymous for Christmas. I would say his most famous role was in a Christmas movie that is still shown thousands of times every Christmas. A matter of fact, I can guarantee you that before this weekend is up, you will, whether you sit and watch it or you're passing by it in the channels, you will come across this movie. He was the, basically, one of the leads in the movie. He wasn't the star. I'm not going to say he was the star, because the star of the movie is somebody else, but he was the major character. Major character in the movie. He died on Christmas Day 2006. Who is that? 740-383-9944. Now, we're going to do something kind of special here. It's a Wonderful Life turned 70 years old this year, and there are very few living cast members left from that film. One of those is Virginia Patton Moss. She's the last credited actress from that film. She's currently 90 years old. She played, I believe, Jimmy Stewart's daughter in the movie. I'll check on the facts on that while we're in the break here, but I believe she played Jimmy Stewart's daughter. We interviewed Virginia Patton Moss last year at this time. We were going to have her on again this year, but she's not quite feeling up to par today. But here's our interview, last Christmas Eve, with Virginia Patton Moss from It's a Wonderful Life. Our lines are open, and we're so proud to be joined on Christmas Eve here for just a short minutes by Virginia Patton Moss, who portrayed Ruth Dakin in It's a Wonderful Life, which came out December 25th, 1946. She's the last surviving credited cast member, and we're so glad. Who better to have on Christmas Eve? Virginia, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine. We're having such beautiful weather here. I thought it was spring. It's blue skies and sun.
I know, it's hard to believe.
It really is. Usually we have snow about this time of year in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But at any rate, all your listeners are very kind to be listening to a little squib on It's a Wonderful Life. And I just have to tell you that Frank Capra, who produced and directed it, was in the service during the Army, during the war. And he and Jimmy got together, and they said they wanted to do something together right after the first thing after they got out of the service. And so Frank started to read scripts, and he found this script that he really liked, and he told Jimmy about it, and Jimmy said, "I'm in." So that's how it happened, and he started a film company called Liberty Films. And as you open the It's a Wonderful Life, there's a big Liberty Bell there that tells dings on the, and that was his company, the Liberty Films, and then he produced and directed it. And I was the only girl that he ever had under contract. I was under contract to Frank Capra.
Absolutely.
He did all of the shooting out in the valley, including the river scene. You know how they can manipulate things that makes it seem quite different than it is. But even the river scene was all out in the valley on one location, except for the one that I was in.
Hmm.
You see, the train station in Pasadena was the one that I was in.
Absolutely amazing. Virginia, I want to do one thing, because I know you're on very limited time today, but I want to play the end of the movie for people, the last 2 minutes of the movie, and then I just want you to come back and tell us, 69 years later, Wonderful Life has meant to you and means in your life. But here it is, the end of the great movie. It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. Here we go.
Come and see my friend. York. The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Harry, how about your banquet in New York?
Oh, I left right in the middle of it. As soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
What a movie, Virginia. When you hear that, what do you think?
Well, I think that it was a great privilege and an honor to have been selected to be in it. And it, I hear from people still today from all over the world writing notes to me, and I'm thrilled that it has brought that kind of a message for that long a period of time that Mr. Capra had meant for it to bring, because he was a very religious man, and he had a message, and he put together that motion picture, the company, and the whole thing. And he wanted to bring a message to the world, and I think he did.
Well, here we are, 69 years later, still talking about it, and I'm sure right now it is showing somewhere in the world. A lasting impact.
I'm sure it is, because he was a great man, a very, 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 very great man, and a very talented and very gifted.
Virginia, it is an absolute pleasure. Could not think of anybody to speak to on Christmas Eve better than you. I wish you the most Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and hopefully after the New Year we'll come back and talk some more, maybe about Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed and all the other great people in that great classic.
Well, it certainly was a privilege to have been in and under contract of Mr. Capra, too.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and you have a Merry Christmas yourself.
Thank you, Virginia. Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Again, that was Virginia Patton Moss, the last surviving cast member of It's a Wonderful Life, May December 25th, 1946. How about that, Charlie? And that was our interview with Virginia Patton Moss last year on Christmas Eve. She was going to be on again with us this year. She still is living up in Michigan, but she's under the weather. But aside from the kid, she's the last credited member from It's a Wonderful Life. 70 years ago, that film came out. But I do think we have a special guest on the line. Caller, are you there?
You betcha I sure am, Scott. How you doing?
Well, this is a person we could not do Christmas without. I am doing fine because we have on the line the legendary man who started in radio and did a Christmas special just about every year for 50 years, Bob Hope. Bob, how are you?
Yes, sir. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we're doing another Christmas special this year. In fact, I just finished a whole month of shows in Louisville, Kentucky at the Christmas at the Gulf House Hotel with the Ladies for Liberty and the Soldiers of Swing, and we had a wonderful time.
Now, what did your Christmas special consist of this year?
Well, as I say, I spent that from the middle of November. We did a big Veterans Day show in Arizona and went down to Louisville, Kentucky to the Gulf House Hotel and did a whole month of shows there. I just got home a few days ago to Arizona and did a couple of shows here, and now I'm just kind of settling in for Christmas Eve.
Bob, when you look back at all those years of Christmas shows, boy, you had them all. You had Bing Crosby, you had Red Skelton, you had Dolly Parton, you had Jerry Colonna. Who did you like? Jack Benny. Who did you like to work with at Christmas the most?
Well, don't forget Ann Margaret and Raquel Welch, who are two of my darlings that I always took overseas with me. And that's what the veterans, they made more over them than they did me coming to Vietnam.
I can imagine, Bob. Did you have a favorite actor that you worked with?
Oh, golly. Well, Bing, of course, you know, we did all those road shows, and it was just terrific, just wonderful working with the old man. I'd probably have to say I had Lucille Ball and Phyllis Diller golly, you know, there are so many wonderful actresses. And, of course, I have to go way back to the movie that I got my theme song, Thanks for the Memories, from. And it was called The Big Broadcast of 1938 with W.C. Fields, Martha Ray, and I sang that song with a very wonderful young lady by the name of Shirley Ross. And we sang Thanks for the Memory, and I kind of borrowed that song and kept it with me for all of my years in show business.
You know, Bob, you have a special place in Christmas history. You were a trivia question of ours the other day because of your great introduction of the song Silver Bells.
Oh, yeah, you got it. I was the Lemon Drop Kid. That was a great movie. I played the notorious gambler, and we started a thing to get around the mob that was trying to collect the debt from me. And we started what we called the Old Dolls Home. And we rounded up all these homeless old ladies and put them into this casino.
Why do you think that song? Because there are a lot of Christmas songs and a lot of Christmas movies that don't hold up, but to this day, you can still hear Silver Bells now 66 years later.
Yes, well, it comes from the heart, you know. And actually, most singers and most people that did recordings of that, including my own hit recording way back in the late 40s, they didn't even sing the verse, which was so beautiful. But when I did it on all the shows down in Louisville this past month, every show, I always sing that verse because it really sets up a beautiful feeling.
Now, Bob, not the whole song, but could you give us a little bit of Silver Bells?
Well, the verse that I love so much, it goes, Christmas makes you feel emotional. It may bring parties or thoughts devotional. Whatever happens or what may be, here is what Christmas time means to me. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. That's the way it goes.
It's a beautiful song. And Bob, I know you were very well known for your Christmas monologues. When you were out doing the shows this past Christmas, is there a favorite Christmas time joke that you had?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the jokes that gets a big laugh, I'll give you two quickies. The one is, I always said to the audience, I says, here's one you can tell when you go back to church Sunday. It's sort of like a little riddle. What did Adam say to his wife on the night before Christmas? He said, Merry Christmas, Eve. and let's see. Oh, the other one is, I tell a story about, since I was always overseas and my kids missed me on Christmas, so I hired Jack Benny to play Christmas Eve for my kids and Dorothy Lamour's kids and Bing Crosby's kids. They were all sitting around the tree, and Jack Benny jumped out from behind the tree in a Santa suit, and he looked at all the kids, and he says, ho, 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 would any of you kids like to buy some toys?
Bob, I can't thank you enough for calling in during this busy time. And before we let you go, I heard this year that you were spending Christmas with Jack Benny.
Well, yeah, no doubt. He'll probably try to sell me some toys.
Could Jack just give us a little Merry Christmas? Is he there with you or close?
Oh, in just a minute. Jack, come over here. Scott wants to say something. Gee, it's wonderful me has to talk to you, Scott. You know, I've always loved Christmas, and it means so much to me, you know, to bring Christmas joy to all the boys and girls and the adults, too.
Now, Jack, I heard a rumor that at Christmas, you don't like to spend as much as other people. Is that true?
Well, you know, if I can get a good deal, I always take advantage of it. And I always used to shop at Goodwill. You know, they have wonderful things there.
Jack, I'm so glad you were able to talk to us for a little bit. I wish you the very best Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. And I'll turn it back to Bob.
Absolutely.
So anyway, how's the thing out there in Marion, Ohio, one of my favorite towns?
Things are very good, and you've been through here a couple times, and boy, we sure hope that you'll be able to make it through again sometime.
Well, I hope so, too. In fact, I just set up a couple of bookings. On August 12th, I'll be in Ashland, Ohio. And then I got another call that we're working on. Let's see, March 4th, I believe it is. I'll be in, Perrysville or something near Toledo. Perrysburg. Yeah, I just talked to that lady yesterday.
So working a lot of dates every year.
Oh, you betcha. We just keep it going.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, Bob, before we let you go, when you sit there and you have Dolores and you have the kids and you look at those years you spent with the troops, is there one particular memory that sticks out? Is there something about this time of year that is just extra special?
Well, you know, when I go out today and I do the shows for a lot of the veterans, and I always ask them to come up and talk to me if they have something they'd like to share with me. And I get these veterans coming up. It used to be the World War II guys, now not so many. Most of the guys now are Vietnam vets that come up to me. And there was a guy came up to me just in Louisville the other night after the show, and he said, Bob, he said, I just wanted to say hi to you. And I said, well, what's your name? And he told me, and he said, remember, I was the one that was guarding you when you were in Da Nang. And then another show I was doing, let's see, where was that? That was, believe it or not, the Wind River Casino, I believe, up in Wind River, Wyoming. And a guy came up after the show, and he said, great big guy, and he tapped me on the chest, and he says, Hope? He says, remember when they bombed your hotel over there in Saigon? And I said, you bet I do. And he said, I'm the squad leader that went after them guys. And I said, did he get them? And he says, you darn right. And they just walked away.
Well, Bob, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but before we part, it just wouldn't be right, even though it's not a Christmas song, to give us a little bit of your parting song you did for so many years.
Oh, you mean... Thanks for the memory, for candlelight and wine, and castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon and moments on the Hudson River line. Hey, Scott,
yes.
I thank you so much.
Beautiful. And of course, as many of you know, sadly, Bob Hope passed away in 2003 at age 100. This is Lynn Roberts, who is it just, you know, Lynn, is there anybody else out there doing Bob Hope?
Yes, I have one friend out of Las Vegas, and he was just starting to do a Bob Hope tribute after he saw me, and a story goes with that. I was scheduled in May of 2009. I was scheduled to go to Guam to do a great big Bob Hope tribute for the governors of all the South Pacific Islands and the commanders of the South Pacific Fleet. And 2 weeks before that, I went in for a little heart examination, and they kept me and said, you've got to have a bypass. I did a five-way bypass. And I said to the doctor when he came in that afternoon, I says, well, do a good job, because I tell you, doctor, I got to go to Guam in 2 weeks to do my show, a tribute to Bob Hope. And he said, well, Lynn, he said, let's just get you through this and you can decide in the morning. Well, after a five-way bypass, you know what I decided in the morning. So I said to my wife, I said, please call the agent and also call my friend Bill Johnson, who is in Las Vegas and was just starting to do Bob Hope tribute, and see if he could do it. And by the way, the agent on that was a very wonderful guy out of Dallas, Texas, by the name of David Tapley. And I just saw on Facebook yesterday that David had passed away. I believe it was probably due to cancer, which he had a few years ago, and I imagine it had come back on him. But anyway, that was the story, and Bill and I have been very good friends ever since.
You know, Lynn, is something interesting. They've been playing a lot of the old Johnny Carson shows in which Bob Hope would appear as a guest recently, I think because of Christmas time on MeTV, I think is where they play him. And it's interesting because Bob was an interesting person, but he was always joke, joke, joke. There wasn't a lot of personal life in the public with Bob Hope. When you get up and play him, how do you see Bob Hope?
Oh, golly. When I walk on stage, Scott, as any of my characters, I just become them from what I've seen on the videos and listening to their old radio broadcasts and such. But I've had a little better insight into Bob Hope because I've become very good friends with Kelly Hope, Bob's youngest son. And in fact, we just had lunch together about 6 weeks ago when he was in Phoenix. And it's such a validation because he tells me how much I am just normally like his dad, like Bob is. And how I say things the way Bob would say it, and my motions and mannerisms. And in fact, when I walked across the street from the restaurant to meet him at his hotel, and I met him just as he was coming out of a ballroom because he was there for the jazz festival, and he stopped in his tracks about 15 feet away and looked at me, and his jaw kind of dropped, and he blinked, and then he walked up to me and he says, "Oh my gosh, Lynn," he says, "this is weird." He said, "I just felt like I had just seen my dad."
Well, you know, Lynn, it's very strange because I have interviewed and been around people who were really here. And the interesting thing is you, out of makeup and out of the costume, do look like Bob Hope. And even right now, the voice doesn't change a whole lot when you do Bob Hope.
That's right. That's right. I'll share one quick little story here for the believers or non-believers. Believe it or not, I was in Fargo, North Dakota, and I did a show at the big Viking Center up there. And I went across the street because I saw they were having a health fair. And there was a psychic had a booth, and I'm walking just down the aisle, and the psychic, this lady, she says, "Sir," she says, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, all right." And I walked over to her. I thought, well, she's trying to sell me a reading. And she said, "Oh, as soon as I saw you come down the aisle," she says, "I just want to give you a reading. There's no charge." And she says, "What I'm getting," she says, that you're an entertainer and that you must do Bob Hope." And I said, "Yes, I do." And she says, "Well," and then she waited for a minute, and she says, "Well, I'm picking up that Bob Hope is very much aware of you." This is after he's been gone for 12 years, you know. And she says, and he's very happy with what you're doing. And he wants to know if when you go on stage, if you still carry a stick," she said, and hold a stick. And I said, "Oh, you mean a golf club?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, that's what he's showing me."
That is an amazing.
She told me a few other things, but I won't go into those.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, it really sent the shivers up my spine.
Yeah.
When she said he really approves of what you're doing and is so glad for it. And this last time when I was with Kelly Hope, he said how they really appreciate it. I said, "I thank you guys so much for letting me, you know, go ahead and be doing this as a tribute to your dad." And he says, "Oh, well, we thank you because we appreciate what you're doing." You know,
Lynn, did you read the book Hope that came out a few years ago?
Yeah, I sure did. The big thick one from Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything because that book was a little different in that it went into areas of Bob's life that really hadn't been discussed before. Was there anything in that book that changed your performance or that you learned that you didn't know?
No, not really. I've read about 12 or 13 books that people have written about Bob, or that Bob had written about himself, or that his daughter Linda had co-authored with Bob. There were a few things, but most of the things that were in there were negative, and I don't even like to talk about those.
Yeah, it's sad after somebody leaves us that's when these books come out, the negative aspects of their lives.
Unfortunate.
So what's planned in the new year when you're not doing the Christmas show? What show are you taking around now?
Ooh, golly. Well, I'm off now until... You see, I'm still a band leader on my occasions. That's what my career has been. up until about 15, 16 years ago, and I really started doing my tribute to Bob. And I still include Jack Benny, Red Skelton, Jimmy Durante, the other four in the show sometimes. But mainly it's now just doing a Bob Hope, because I do up to an hour and 15 minutes of just Bob Hope. But on New Year's Eve, my band always plays again, and I'm a saxophone player, and I love being a musician. That's a lot of joy in that, too. But in January 7th, I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina. Then on the 15th, I'll be doing Jimmy Durante over in Palm Desert or Palm Springs, or the same thing, at the McCollum Big Theater that Bob actually put up the beginning money to have built. Oh, and golly, if people saw the Tony Bennett's 90th birthday party the other night, did you see that?
That was tremendous.
Well, I knew about this story, but Tony actually shared the story of how he got his name, you know, because Bob Hope had gone to see, Pearl Bailey in a show in New York. And now I've heard it was the Copacabana, but Tony didn't actually say that. He just said a cabaret. And Bob liked the way Tony sang so much, he went up and introduced himself, and he said, "What's your name, kid?" And of course, Tony said, "Anthony something Benedetto." And Bob says, "Oh, that's too long to fit on a marquee." He said, "I think we should just call you Tony Bennett." And that's how Tony Bennett became Tony Bennett.
Because of
Bob Hope.
It's amazing how many people's lives he touched. But when you have a life that goes a century, I guess you do touch a lot of lives.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, like I say, in seeing your shows and having you come on mine is always a pleasure. And I hope you get booked this way very soon so we can see each other in person again.
Well, I sure do, too. And I never forget that wonderful Christmas show we did with Chuck Carson, one of my agents, and me. And we had Ted Williams, the Golden Voice, was on there.
And Mary Ellen Withrow, yes.
Yeah, and the very dear lady that was Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes, that was a fun time.
Oh, that was... Oh, and the agent restaurateur, and he took us on, and we all went out and ate together afterwards. Wasn't that fun?
We did. That was a fun night. That's on YouTube, that special, for people who want to see it, but that was an enjoyable time.
Oh, I'll have to go. How's it listed? I'll go on and look at it again myself.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a couple years ago. And, Lynn, you stole the show as you always do. Thank you so much.
Hey, God bless you, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lynn Roberts, who does the greatest Bob Hope impression, I think, in the world, without question. He was here twice, I think 2 years in a row. He did a veteran show 1 year as Bob Hope over at the Palace Theater, and then came back the following year for the Christmas show, and it was a lot of fun. I think it was Mary Ellen Withrow, Ted Williams, Golden Voice, Santa Claus, Lynn as Bob Hope, Chuck Carson, who was one of his agents and a former radio announcer, and there was George Kasotis, the restaurateur, all got together for that, and we sang carols and talked about Christmas and had a really good time. I think that was back in 2012. But we've only got about 6 minutes left in this broadcast, and then we'll be on with the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers will be here, and we will have Paul Savage providing Christmas music all afternoon long during Charlie's show and my show at noon. So you're going to have to stick around. We've got these tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights, which are good through January the 1st. The three trivia questions we have right now, you've still got 6 minutes, 740-383-9944. In the motion picture Scrooged with Bill Murray, 1989, who did the Jacob Marley role? Is it Jacob Marley? Now, see, now I'm forgetting it. Scrooge's business partner. I believe it was Jacob Marley, yes. Who did the Jacob Marley role in that film? He wasn't named Jacob Marley, but he was the man, Bill Murray's former business partner, who came back to warn Bill Murray that three ghosts were going to see him. He was a gigantic television star at the time. He had been on so many shows. Who was that? I think he was on one of the number one television shows at the time. 740-383-9944. Now, the other trivia question is, in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what was the name of the Grinch's dog? And when the Grinch was stealing all the items from the kids' houses, what is the name of the little girl who came and caught the Grinch as he was stealing the tree and the ornaments and the presents? So what was the Grinch's dog's name, and what was the name of the little girl who caught the Grinch as he was stealing everything? The third question was, Eartha Kitt died on Christmas Day 2008. Of course, that is coincidental because Eartha Kitt was well known for singing the Christmas song Santa Baby. But there was another actor who is synonymous with Christmas. Absolutely synonymous with Christmas. I guarantee you will see the movie that he is the star of this weekend. Whether you sit and watch it, whether you have it on DVD, whether you're just flipping by it in the channels, you will see it this weekend. I guarantee it. As one of the most popular Christmas movies of all time, probably in the top three, he was the lead actor in it, and he died on Christmas Day. Go figure. 2006. Christmas Day 2006. What was the name of that actor? So those are the three trivia questions. You can win two tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights, which go through January 1st. And when you think about it, that is a great gift, because next week after Christmas is over, a lot of people don't have to go to work, a lot of the factory jobs, and you can just take a trip down there and see these great zoo lights at the Columbus Zoo. So answer any of those questions. 740-383-9944. Now, Paul Savage, because we've been talking about these oranges, and the other day we learned the origin of the Christmas orange, why oranges were put in kids' stockings. It was because, and I'm going to paraphrase this story, but St. Nicholas started off as a bishop, and the bishop ran into a gentleman who didn't have a whole lot for Christmas. So to become a saint, St. Nicholas, he was able to give the gentleman and his family a great Christmas as he was dropping gold down the stocking, or the chimney. And some of the gold, a gold ball, ended up in the stocking. And the orange represents the gold ball that ended up in the stocking of the family that, I guess, made a good Christmas for them, that helped change Bishop Nicholas to St. Nicholas. That's where the orange comes from, and I have an orange in my hand right now that Paul Savage brought in. So there you go. Maybe this year, sneak out, get an orange, put it in your kid's Christmas stocking, and when they ask why an orange is in there, you can tell them that story. I think it's a nice tradition. Or if you're just having a Christmas party, take the peel and put it in some water, boil it, and your whole house will smell like oranges, which is a nice scent, kind of a nice, healthy scent. We want to thank everybody who was on the program today, from Peter Saltzer, who portrays George Burns, Lynn Roberts, who did Bob Hope and Jack Benny for us, and the interview we played from last year with Virginia Patton Moss, who portrayed Ruth Dakin Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, the last credited cast member who is still alive, as that movie came out 70 years ago. Can you believe that? 70 years ago, It's a Wonderful Life came out. We've got the Exchange Club with Charlie Evers, myself, and Paul Savage coming up in 15 minutes, then the Faye Bank Charlie Evers Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun.